Let us pray. Precious Savior, newborn King, Emmanuel, God with us. This morning we celebrate your arrival to be one of us, and yet to bring life and light like we have never experienced before. We thank you, Lord, for your presence among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How can you tell if someone is like you or someone is a part of the same group that you are a part of? Well, the military has a very easy way of doing that. Usually it's the same kind of uniform, and if that doesn't work, usually it's some sort of patch or some sort of recognition that says, you are one of us. When I was doing my reserve duty a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to be a part of a landing support battalion. And they were the only ones in the Marine Corps that had a red patch sewn on their trouser leg. And they were just known as the Red Patchers. And they were the ones who were in charge of any landing zone. But whenever you saw that red patch, you knew which group it was. Or there's the Olympics coming up. Coming up in February, a little bit more, and maybe 5-6 weeks ago from now, there's going to be a whole contingent from the United States and from countries around the world who are all going to gather in someplace in South Korea, and they will all be wearing, at least initially, as they walk into the stadium, as they walk out of the stadium, they'll all be wearing the same attire. They're one together. They know which country they belong to. There's a small, tiny group within Trinity that has a unique identity. On the back of their leather jackets, they all have, I don't know how you describe it, a cross and wings. It's the King's Riders motorcycle ministry. Once a year, we get a chance to ride in a toy run here in the Hillsboro area. And this last November, there were more than 200 riders that were there. And you could see from the back of their jackets exactly which organization, which group, which motorcycle club they belong to. Everywhere from Brother Speed to Bikers for Christ. They were all there. It's something that helps us with identity. And as we think about Christmas on this Christmas morning, when we think about it, it really is about identity. The identity of that baby that was born and the identity that he gives to us. But it's an identity that's kind of interesting and kind of unusual. We've been celebrating Christmas for centuries, and so we say, all right, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And yet we celebrate the birth of one who already existed. John in the gospel reading for this morning says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That way before we celebrated Christmas, on that first Christmas when Jesus was born into the flesh, into human flesh, he already existed. And yet he came to be one of us. He came to give us an identity. And so we talk about this strange, we actually have a word for it. We call it the incarnation. And actually, that's just a combination of a bunch of Latin and Greek words, which means he came in the flesh. But he came to be one of us. One that was already existing, had existed from eternity, will exist through eternity. He came into this time, into this place. He came to be one of us. And yet the uniqueness of Jesus' birth, that he came to be one of us, is that he's not one of us. That there's no way, even though the writer of Hebrews will say he experienced everything as we do, and in that hymn that we just sang, What Child Is This?, it lists all of those things that he experienced. He cried, he laughed. He had pain. He had sorrow. He experienced everything that you and I experience. And yet, as God, it was something that he's not one of us. Because we go through all of these things and we put our stamp of sin on top of it all. Whereas Jesus never did. He experienced it all, yet the scriptures tell us without sin. We were lost, Titus says, in our very thoughts being against God. When sin entered into the world, that's how we came, and that's how we were born. With standard equipment, sin. Jesus comes as holy, perfect, without sin. But he comes into our life. He comes into our world. He comes into what you and I know as existence because he's got something to bring to us. And that passage from Titus, it says, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. We become heirs of the hope of eternal life and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's why baptism is such a significant thing within our lives. Because it's in that act of God's grace that he makes us one with him. Jesus came to be one of us so that he might give to us the very things that we need to live and to exist and to be with him. In the gospel reading from John, it says, he came to be the light in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Regardless of what we see in the rest of Jesus' life, as he grew up and as he had his years of ministry, the darkness still did not overcome the light, even in his death, because we know the rest of that story, the resurrection. And he came to be that light was also life, to bring us life unlike anything else, to be the giver of life for us, that we might be called children of God. Not by any of our plans, not by any of our devices, but a child of God, born of God. And so this child comes to be one of us, yet not one of us, to bring to us all of the riches of God's grace. And then the marvelous truth that John also describes in his gospel reading for this morning. That he moved into the neighborhood, as the message says. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, one translation says. And another one says, literally, he moved into our neighborhoods. He moved into us. He moved into our lives. And so our life is never the same. That's the great message of Christmas, that he came to be one of us, and then he didn't leave, but he stayed. He's here. He's in our hearts. Here in the unique and the special gift of himself in the Lord's Supper, here he is. In all of our relationships, in all of our work, in all of our families, in all of our homes, wherever we are, there is Jesus. That's what his incarnation was all about, to come and to move into our lives. And yet, one of the unique miracles of Christmas is that this word, the Messiah, Emmanuel, as he came to be one of us, that's miraculous enough. But the real miracle is that he makes us one with him. And that's his gift to you, to me, this Christmas morning. One of us, and that we are one with him. Let's pray. Gracious God, what a marvelous thing it is, a truth that is almost beyond comprehension, that you as God would come and take on flesh, take on our human existence, so that we might spend eternity with you. Gracious Lord, thank you for the miracle of Christmas, for your birth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.